Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters. And of course, we like to pick on people, talk to people who are out on the cutting edge of what you and I know as reality and consciousness and so on. And one of my favorite people is Lady Ashtar, who's the channel for Lord Ashtar, Terry Simons. And she's been over in Japan connecting with her own cellular roots and sharing some international multidimensional doodah. And I'm so glad she's come back here and we're talking again today. So welcome to the show, Terry.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a true joy to be here again, Veronica.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I bet you it's been 10. Do you think it's been 10 years?
Oh, I think I was going to Japan. You know, it's probably been 8 because we talked about Fukushima and the tsunami after the great earthquake.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, right.
Oh my gosh. So I want to say, okay, what have you done in the last 8 years? But let's talk. You have been going back and forth to Japan with Lord Ashtar and with this very wonderful, hungry audience for your teachings. What would you like to say about life in Japan? I know that they're more crowded than we are. In some ways, they're more technically evolved. And what's the metaphysical, spiritual evolution going on over there? Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Oh, of course. You know, Japan's become my second home, and it really, really touched my heart when I was asked by the U.S. Embassy of Tokyo to consider leaving. It was spoken in a very direct way. Americans should go home. And so I chose to go home in this tour, and I was so touched to realize how much this the country of Japan and the culture has touched me. The people there, where do I begin? It's kind of a long story.
Well, you obviously have an affinity, right? Did you know that? Did you know that right off the bat, or is it just grown, or what?
Well, when I first arrived there 10 years ago, it felt like home, and I found myself doing things I don't do at home. Like, it was automatic to stop at the door, wait to be invited in, even if it was just a room. You're in the house and you wait to be invited, and you bow a lot and say thank you, and a lot of excuse me, forgive me. The word is simasen, and you use it all the time. So you're always kind of bowing, oh, simasen. Thank you, or forgive me, or excuse me, or I need help. It's a real common generic word. But I was doing those things subconsciously, and I know it has to do with that past life expression that I've had. I have to have lived there. It's so familiar to me.
Wow, isn't that exciting?
Yes, it is. You asked an interesting question I'd really like to talk about. In Japan, historically, when the Christians came and they created all kinds of chaos, and there was a war between the Christians and Buddhists, and they were burning people at the stake, murders. It was really, really awful.
The Christians were?
The Buddhists were burning people. The Christians were standing their ground, and you know the whole biblical Christian story about taking over.
Right.
And so the emperor stood in and said, "Whoa, wait a minute. We're going to stop this. There is no religion in Japan." And he said, "No one will have a religion. All religions," and they've actually stopped. You see Buddhism, you see Shintoism. There are Christians that you see the Mormons on the streets.
And you have beautiful temples over there too. They're gorgeous.
Oh my! You see the Islamic people, the Jewish people. They're everywhere. It's not that they don't have their place of recognition, temples, churches, the synagogues. You see these things. But when you're talking about religion, they don't talk about it that way. They refer to it as a philosophy. I've studied this philosophy. And
well,
even
that makes
in the
sense.
Records, yep. Yeah, it does. And it stopped all the fighting.
Wow.
When they can't claim a religion, it's illegal to claim it, then Now, let me back up and say when they're born, on their paperwork, it has to declare a religion. They are Buddhist, or in most cases, they're Buddhist. But beyond that, they don't recognize religion. They recognize philosophy, which is why they can accept spirituality.
Hmm.
They don't see it as, it is a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So spirituality is a philosophy, and the fact that I'm a trans-channel and that I have a direct connection to the universe, then that makes them more open to the words that are spoken, because they believe, as I believe,
mm-hmm.
and I think many, many people do, that God is within. And
okay.
that when we see ourselves as the expression of God, which is Buddhist, we see ourselves as an expression of God. And if the words that I'm speaking through Ashtar is seen as an expression of God, then they'll accept the work that I do. And that's part of the reason that I've been successful over there. And they're very excited about, they bring in, I just spoke to, oh, I don't know, 6 months ago, to a group of nearly 1,000.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
They're all very, oh, it's exciting. Very excited about what was being said. So there's an openness to philosophies that you can't find around the world. You know, most places are very focused on their not spiritual, but their religious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because religion
mm-hmm.
and philosophy are certainly different things, I'll tell you.
Right.
But are they? But obviously, they must be growing. So, what their philosophy isn't stunted by a packaging. Then, is that what you're saying?
That's right. No, it is growing, and spirituality is becoming more and more accepted. You can talk about it, and in most cases, people will be in agreement. And those people that aren't, they're kind of stuck in the whole religion idea, but they still, like I say, they legally cannot claim religion. They can look at it as a philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting. So you've been very welcomed there, and you've become kind of a part of the culture in a way. So it feels hard to be sent home, but is that because of COVID-19?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was the COVID. They have been very good about keeping it under control. And so they had a social distancing very early. Wearing masks is common over there. You see it all the time.
Hmm.
So for people to put on a mask at this time was very easy for them.
Is that because of Fukushima and other big...
No. Part of it is that they live in such dense societies, that they're in the city.
Mm-hmm.
In the countries, it's not dense. It's a beautiful expression of life in the country. But in the cities like Tokyo, Osaka, Fukuoka, the big cities, Sendai, and what's the other one? Sapporo. The big cities, it's very, very common. If they have a cold or they're just not feeling good, they wear a mask.
Wow.
It's just common. It's part of their culture.
Well, actually, that's really kind, isn't it?
Yes, mm-hmm. it is. My interpreter, I travel with an interpreter most of the time while I'm there. One day she said, you know, the news this day said that the flu is on the rise. This was a few years ago. She said, just wear your mask.
Okay.
And I thought, wow. And, you know, it's self-protection as well as recognizing that you don't want to spread it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very thoughtful in that way. And it's just part of their culture.
Well, I want to say another thing.
During COVID, they can wear them.
And I just want to say another thing, adding to the same subject, is, you know, we're doing social distancing here, which I know you're aware of. And somebody
mm-hmm.
said a couple of days ago, you know, we should be like Japan, where we should learn to bow to each other all the time. And then
mm-hmm.
it would be a whole different issue, wouldn't it? Because it would be more respectful, more elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Did you experience that? Yeah.
In fact, I recently saw a doctor, a physician, and we were greeting each other. It was COVID time. We were greeting each other here in the U.S. And he said, well, I guess what we're going to have to start doing is bowing. And he actually stood social distance and he bowed. And their bows, unless they're doing something very formal, their bows are really just kind of a nod of the head and a gentle kind of tip of the body. It's not a formal bow. But he actually bowed, and it was very sweet. And I thought, you know, you're right. And in their culture, until recent, when I first started going, I've seen a huge transition. There was no touching. People did not touch each other.
Wow.
I saw the most romantic thing I've ever seen. This couple, this woman, she was in her kimono, dressed very proper kimono style. She was beautiful. And she was waiting at the gate of a train station. And she just kept looking, but she was very shy. And she was watching and she was watching. And a gentleman appeared. And he was dressed in Western style, a suit. And he saw her, and both, you just saw the magnetic energy, the connection between them was so beautiful. He came through the train gates, and they greeted each other with that kind of a gentle bow. They didn't touch, but their eyes said so much, and the energy said so much. They turned and walked in the same direction, and they were probably 3 inches apart. They never touched. And
wow.
It was, you just knew they were destined to be. It was so beautiful. Hmm. I thought, wow, what a different way. And then 3 weeks later, I'm in another countryside town. It's called Higashi Hiroshima. And here's two kids, junior high age, both on bicycles, leaning across and kissing each other.
Oh!
I thought, oh, the West meets the East, you know?
A little of everything, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, you know. And today they're holding hands and they're very, very westernized as far as being open.
Mm-hmm. That was a lovely little vignette. So tell us about Lord Ashtar and give us a little thumbnail. I don't know if people remember the last times you were on the show. So maybe you want to tell them how you, what will we say, hooked up with Lord Ashtar.
Oh. Ashtar and I, we've had a contract from way back before time. And I'll just do a little plug here. Brian wrote my biography,
mm-hmm.
and it's the Lady Ashtar story. You can find it on Amazon.
Great.
Brian Graham, yeah. Yeah, it's been published in Japanese as well. And so it all goes down to, how did we meet? Well, we met long, long, long ago, as he says. And I became a high priestess in his sanctuary as we fell in love, he and I. And eventually, I became as a wife to him and made the vow that I would come to Earth and be his voice when it was time for Earth to transition into a fifth dimensional planet of light.
Oh,
and so, Earth,
so wait a minute. Before we go past this, where did you meet? What do you know, any planetary structure or different galaxy?
I was a high priestess. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was a high priestess on the planet Arcturus.
Okay.
And he found me and he fell in love. I guess it's quite, I haven't heard it, but I guess there's quite a romantic story that goes with it. He tells it, and Brian, he was in tears when Ashtar was telling how he met me and how much in love he was and all this. It was very fun.
Was he also Arcturian?
No, he's Venusian.
Oh,
Ashtar comes from Venus. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He, on Venus, when it was his time, he was known as the commander of the Venusian Space Federation.
Hmm.
And they had a big space program. They were beautiful people, and Venus was absolutely beautiful as a planet. But the Venusians lived in love. The Venusians, they were founded in their hearts and in love. So they focused on that, and they were very intellectual, and they developed a very strong technological society, which allowed them to go to space. So Ashtar, in that he was in service, he was a commander of the Space Federation.
Okay.
When they were being so technological, they ended up destroying their atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And in the destruction of the atmosphere, they destroyed the planet.
Oh,
and they had to leave. There were 10 space stations, and he had said they would go to the nearest inhabitable planet, which happened to be Earth. If they wanted to live on a planet, he would lead them. And he colonized 10 areas. So there were 10 colonies. Each space station, they all landed in different places on planet Earth. And he colonized the Earth way, 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 way back in time. So it was the beginning of, well, planet Earth as we know it. It was founded that the Venusians could procreate with the Homo sapiens. And he says, if you do your DNA, you know, the swab and you send it in, a lot of times they can't determine a portion of your DNA. They don't know what it is. And he says, Ashtar says, it's because that's your Venusian DNA.
Nice.
Some of us are carrying it. Isn't that sweet? I like that.
I love that. I have to get mine done. Have you had yours done?
No, but I'm tempted. I'm really, in knowing that, it makes me think, oh, I really should go find out.
Well, I would expect, I think what's interesting about you is how many, like, for example, how much Japanese history do you have, but also these different levels, like our Arcturian, are they able to see that kind of thing with the swabbing?
No, they can't tell if you are a specific planetary connection. Ashtar can tell you if you are, where your home planet is. Mine happens to be Arcturus, but the
that's mine too, Terry.
A lot of people that are coming are Pleiadian, which I'm finding interesting because the Pleiadians, they're creative, they're the healers, they're the ones that are reaching out to create a better planet, our Earth planet. So. Anyway, he then went to space, and he took his 10 space stations out to space, and they connected, creating a small planet-sized mothership.
Okay.
And it moves. Most of the time, it has been near the Pleiades, and currently it's near Arcturus. And, I mean, it all sounds real spacey and strange, but that's how he gained the name, the Commander of the Space Federation, because he is a part of the development of universal love. He's part of the presence of God, and he's a part of the ascended masters like Saint Germain and Sanat Kumara, Buddha, Jesus, ascended masters that are helping the planet ascend. So he's gone from being a Venusian, a physical person who lived on Earth for a while, which allows him to be known as a ascended master. And then he went on out to space and became part of the universal presence, awakening the presence of God within us.
Oh, I love that. So when did you hook up? Did you come to Earth when he began with the 10 different ships? Or when did you tune in with being a part of it all?
You know, I don't know when my first Earth life was, but in this life, I've always had a connection. And I didn't know what it was. I was raised Christian, but it was loose, you know. We said we were Christian. We said we were Protestant, but we didn't really go to church. And I went to Bible school when I was little, but that was about it. So as I was growing up, I always had that little angel that talked. I've always had a strong intuition, but in time, in about 87, I was in a position that I had, my husband had bought me a deck of oracle cards, and I was afraid of them. Being a Christian, you just don't do this.
Right, scary.
It was scary, but I followed his guidance, and I did, finding that I could read them. I didn't need the book. And I was very accurate. And then people were coming over and saying, I understand you have some tarot. And I didn't do tarot. I did oracle. But the point was they wanted a reading. And it was surprising.
Wow.
And then in 1990, I had my awakening. And that was when the voices came. And they just called me awake. It's a long story. I won't go quite into it unless you want to hear it. But it's.
Well, I do and I don't, because we have awakening. Okay, go ahead.
It was a six-week awakening that within 2 years, then I found myself as a Reiki master, and I was trans-channeling Ashtar. Nice. And that's how I became Lady Ashtar. Because I was on his ship and we were married, he said, I didn't like the name Lady Ashtar. I thought that's too arrogant. But he said, as I am Lord Ashtar and you are as my wife, that means you are Lady Ashtar. And he just very adamantly says, you will take this name.
All right.
And so I did.
And you didn't argue. Well, you know, I'm really excited to talk about all of this with you because you have such a multidimensional existence inside and out. And I'm wondering some really intense things, okay? Like, what does Lord Ashtar say about what is going on our planet right now? Is this, are we creating the Great Extinction number 6? Is the COVID a setup for us to find more of our true nature? These are big questions, but I thought you might play with me.
Absolutely. Do you want him to come in?
Yeah, that'd be great if he'd like to.
We'd love to. He'll tell you all about it.
Well, I loved hearing yours.
I like to play, but good.
Well, come back in if you want to, yeah.
Okay, well, when we come to the end, if you'll allow me to come back and say goodbye, that would be very nice. But let's bring him in, and he likes to talk.
Oh,
so
good.
Give me just a moment, and I'm going to do my little ritual as I bring him in. Give me a moment. Well, my little one. A beautiful blessing it is for you. In the states of love and light. Ah, my little one, the blessings are many. It's a beautiful time in your world. A time where it is that your hearts reach out into the universe and there is light. A beautiful light that shines down all around you. A light of love that lifts you up into the realms of the angels and all the ascended ones, where there is love and joy, peace and harmony. And it is so. You've been talking with my little one. Yes, I am Lord Ashtar. I come to you now for the purpose of answering some of these beautiful questions you were asking. A blessing it is to you, my little one. I am honored to sit here with you.
Oh, and I'm so honored, Lord Ashtar. Thank you.
It is a blessing. You know it is that I am known in my world as the ambassador of love. So I come in that of an expression of love. I desire to help the earthlings, the humans, or all living things upon earth, to find their hearts and find the wisdom. Many will say to me, Ashtar, when it is that you left Venus, you were destroying your planet. And I say, yes. And that's what I come to Earth to help you prevent from doing. Earth is the most beautiful planet in all the universe. It is utopic. And there will be no other. In all the searching that your scientists do, you will find life. But it will be nothing like Earth. You will find amoeba, you will find bacteria, you will find life, yes, but you will not find Earth in any universe. It's a most beautiful planet, and it is my mission as the ambassador of love, as the Commander Ashtar, that I come as Lord Ashtar to bring to you the essence of your hearts, that you will awaken your hearts to this planet and treat it as your child. And bring it to its most beautiful existence. Heal the planet and live in love at the same time. And you can do that, absolutely. Wow. Now, you were asking me a question a moment ago, and you were asking it to my little one, but it was directed to me. That was COVID. What is with COVID?
Yes. Is it a plot? Is it something that's been designed for us?
Yeah. You know, there are those that are coming to me and asking me, is this a good God, bad God? The bad God decided to throw COVID into the Earth's atmosphere. No, it's not that. There is not a bad God. That is a ridiculous statement that people are making. So there is someone out there that has been preaching across the internet. There's two trains, the white train and the black train. and the black train's off course and the dark is dying and there's no trains, you know, which is very curious what people say. Humans, you are quite a joy. I find you very funny. Oh, my goodness. So, oh, there are those that think it's a plot and it's genocide that's being spread about by some unknown group of humans. All right, so COVID, what is this and what is its purpose? And we're talking COVID-19 right now.
Right.
So it is truly the process of the mutation of the bacteria, COVID. This has been in your lives for a very, very long time. There's a reason it says 19, because there's 19 previous times where COVID has been a part of your lives. And the genetics of it, genetics, that's not right, the molecular structure would be that it has mutated into what it is now. And as it is now, it can attach to you and make you very, very sick. It has been an expression for some that there are those in your world that often speak of, I want to go home, I want to leave, I want off the planet. And they say it repeatedly over and over. Well, this is giving them an opportunity to be angels and to lift up and be the ones that remind the humans on Earth that your planet is beautiful. You want to stay here. You don't want to leave. The reason most of you are saying, I want off the planet, is, well, you're a little bit disappointed in your life. And it's so beautiful, this planet. It isn't that you are, how do I want to say this to you? Some have said that it is biblical, the end of time. And there's other aspects of religion that would be speaking of the end of time. No, this isn't the end of time. It is a process by which humans are going through their release. They are going through their expression of honor of their humanness. It is contractual with those who have come very sick and died, both aspects. If they've been very sick and they've healed, or if they've been very sick and died, this is contractual. And it was agreed upon before birth, in most cases, many, many births prior, lifetimes prior. But they agreed to come to the planet to help, to assist in the recognition of the fragility of humanity. Aha, the fragility of humanity. If you did not have your science, and you did not have, and many of you will argue me this, but the pharmaceuticals, the vaccines, the different things that you have placed into your body over the times, the course of centuries, you would not most likely have survived as a human race. Many of you are fighting the pharmaceuticals, and I can understand the fight with the companies. But what it is that the scientists are developing to create immunity in your body, this is being channeled. This is the miracle of the mind that is open to conversation with us. And we are assisting you. We being the universal energies of light, the presence of God, and the collective consciousness. We are assisting these scientists to find the cures, to find the way for humans to exist on a planet. Your planet is not healthy. It's very sick. Your waters are sick. Your air is sick. Your plants are sick. You are sick. You have to heal it. And this is a reminder. When a virus can morph into something that can attack you on this level, it is an indication of how sick your planet is.
I think the hardest thing, excuse me for interrupting, but
no
when
problem.
You say this is such a beautiful planet, but, you know, sometimes it feels so ugly because of what people are doing to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and it really seems that we're living lesson after lesson after lesson, and we don't quite, mm-hmm. I don't know how to get out. And we hear that your Venus and many other planets have been destroyed by the very wonderful beings, by people who have risen out of that failure experience or that detrimental mm-hmm. experience and become great teachers like you. And mm-hmm. so many of them have been in a terrible situation like we are in Earth. And I keep wondering, is that just something we're stuck with as a progress? I don't understand that part. You see what I'm saying?
From, mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. It comes from the reason you keep doing this. It comes from the fact that you become very intellectual and you lose your hearts.
Ah.
You lose your compassion. You lose the ability to recognize that, yes, you can create all these amazing things. Yes, you can use your ingenuity and create a world that is so powerful. But you forget the human organism. You forget that the ecosystem of your planet is so fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And you become so focused. And it's happened in many, many planets. It's happened throughout all the universe. And over on Earth as well. But you forget that this great technology, this great ingenuity, it holds a purpose, but it can be very destructive. And when you forget that there is the potential for destruction through these great minds that are thinking so powerfully, then you start to have this kind of condition happen upon, like Earth and other planets, where you begin to destroy yourself. Oh, it's, you didn't like that.
Not at all, but also...
Because that's what you're doing.
Well, mm-hmm. What I would love to have you illuminate for us, adding to what you're saying, because I'm listening very carefully, but you're part of a fleet of beings in space, are you not? There's many
yes.
other consciousnesses. Can you tell mm-hmm. us what kind of, like, how do we associate with that kind of consciousness? And are they able to help us awaken enough to get through this time? You hear what I'm saying? Is like, what is our rapport mm-hmm. with these mm-hmm. with these beings like you who can make mm-hmm. a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Or can you? Is it all just karmic that we have to live it out?
Well, part of it is a karmic expression, but most of it, at this point, most of you are in a place where you are, what do I want to say, casualties. And you're going to have to start to begin to think in a greater consciousness level. In other words, recognize it, whatever God it is you pray to, that is your choice. There is but one God, and you can call that God whatever you want to call it. I say, call on me. Call me Ashtar, Lord Ashtar, Commander Ashtar. Or call me, hey, you. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Call on me. And mm-hmm. we all say that. When you begin to recognize that we exist within you, that the universe, God, the presence of God, lives within you, and that you have all the knowledge, and you have all the expressions of life, you give it away. You give your existence away. When you, like you have done and many of your listeners are doing, you're taking your life back, you say.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is you're taking your consciousness back so that you haven't become a part of the group consciousness that says we're dying.
Mm-hmm.
The group consciousness says it's the end of time. The group consciousness that says this is the bad God that's come to teach you a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But you take that consciousness back and you say, I am the consciousness of God, the universe. I am the consciousness that says I am strong and healthy and powerful, that my physicality is an expression of God,
mm-hmm.
of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to recognize that, you don't have to run around and become these people that are philosophizing on, I don't know. You don't have to be a loud voice. But it is necessary. It is so necessary that you take your consciousness back. I say meditate, meditate, meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now, mm-hmm. because through meditation, you claim it. You claim your consciousness. You're not giving it away. You're not becoming a part of a group consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You are your consciousness. And in that, everything will change. And it changes because what you think, do, and say becomes your reality. I'm going to say it again. What you think, do, and say, it is now your reality. So what are you thinking about? Not just you, but your listeners.
Mm-hmm.
What are you acting about? What are you talking about? What are you doing? And when I say that to you and your listeners, I'm saying think of the group consciousness, but think of your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a powerful consciousness, and it is the spark of God within. And when you realize that you are not the pawn of the chess game, that you are the kings and queens, and you can change it through meditation, through prayer, through your individual consciousness coming to a place of understanding that it is the light, it is love, it is an expression. To walk upon a path that says to the world, we can beat this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a virus. You must be careful, I will say to all of you, social distancing, masks, and wash your hands.
And bow. Be careful. And bow.
And bow. I like that one. And bow. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so accustomed to handshakes and elbow bumps and hugs and kissing on the cheeks and all of this sort of thing. It's time to bow.
So what do you think about us all having a stay-at-home order? Is that essential? Are we asking for big trouble by saying we want to go off to work again? I feel afraid of that, but a lot of people think a lot of people think that's in our mind, that we can transcend that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
You know, some of you have antibodies and you don't know it. You've had SARS in the past, not COVID-19 SARS, which is a SARS, but you've had SARS. So you have a degree of antibody against this. Some of you have that. If you could be tested for the antibodies, you would find that many of you really are free to roam.
Okay.
I say to you this, you might be free, but that makes you a carrier because you can carry it without having it and you can give it to your loved ones. And I asked you, you've asked me, well, I'm kind of jumping here. I asked you, I'm going to go back to that. I asked you this when you think about taking off your masks and going back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth the life of your child?
No.
Or your elderly family?
No.
Is it worth it? And that's right. Mm-hmm. You would all scream at me, no. What you do for yourself, that's your life, your expression. But trust me, if you get sick and you're in that hospital bed and you don't have a ventilator, you do not have a ventilator,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be thinking, why was I so silly? The masks, the social distancing, and the hand washing. Well, you should have been washing your hands anyway.
For 20 seconds every time. Sometimes we don't do that, right?
Yes, yes. Sing happy birthday every day and be grateful you're having another one. So can you get back out? Can you go to work? Some of you, I would say yes. Social distancing is an absolute must because you can transmit it even when you're not sick. That's what people aren't realizing.
It. Worth remembering, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, if all of you take off your masks and all of you go back to normal living, as you think of it as normal living, you will find a huge death rate because you are not prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You're not prepared. And you find yourself isolated now, and many of you are so tired of this isolation, it's just driving you a little bit buggy. But ask yourself, is it really worth the risk of your children and your elderly?
No, it sure is not. But the whole thing that a lot of us are asking, is there not an attempt to have some power take over the whole world? They're taking advantage of drop prices and vulnerable businesses. And I mean, there's a lot of corruption going on behind the scenes too, which makes you go, well, gee, what should I be doing about this? Is this real? And what does Lord Ashtar say about this in a global sense? Like, is there a really big power move to take over the world?
No.
Okay.
The answer is no.
Okay, good.
And let me say this about your idea of all this corruption.
Mm-hmm.
The corruption's always been there.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that you're finding now is the good people are doing what you're being asked to do. The honest, the strong, the healthy, the people that are saying, I will follow the directions and I will do what I'm being asked in their everyday life, they're going home. And they're being appropriate. And it is those corrupt people that have been corrupt all along. But you have been so busy just trying to pay your mortgages, feed your families.
Mm-hmm.
You have been so busy that you haven't seen it. But now that you're not busy, now that you're home, now that you're in a place where you can watch the news, talk to each other, share this experience together, the corruption shows up.
Mm-hmm. And even the news is kind of not exactly honest, is it?
No. News is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a reality. Mm-hmm. Fear sells. When you're in a time and space where you're really watching the news, you don't hear the good stories.
No.
You only hear the fearful stories.
Mm-hmm.
You only hear about how people are murdering and thieving and just outright bad people.
And that keeps us smaller, doesn't it? It keeps us a lot smaller in our self-awareness.
It does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It blunts us.
And you live in fear then. You're afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You're afraid to go out. You're afraid to be a part of something because, well, what if? So many of you have talked about the Illuminati and how the Illuminati are a part of this whole devious activity of making everybody go home so that they can control all of you. Well, it is about life and death right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you do for you and your family. It isn't about these corrupt people. The corrupt people were always there, but now you can see them.
Have you had an experience in another planetary system where you encountered this global pandemic, for example?
Well, we had it on Venus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Areas of the Pleiades have had it. I'm seeing it in two universes over where the whole universe went into a pandemic.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. There were many living beings upon those planetary systems. And it was very, very destructive. Many, many systems died out. So
is that just a part of evolution, I guess, is it? Or is it?
Yes, it is. It is a part of evolution. And that's true today. The people in your world, the people of Earth, you, the survivors, have that really strong DNA. The survivors are the ones that will carry on and bring this powerful state of empowerment forward so that their DNA structure lives on. Those that are sick and weak, the DNA structure has been damaged one way or another,
mm-hmm.
and their DNA now won't go on. Now, I'm not saying everybody with somebody that's passed due to this should think their DNA is bad. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I am
saying the survivors are the strong ones. And it is a part of the evolution of Earth. Mm-hmm.
And I guess the evolution of the souls, there are some very fragile ones with weak DNA who will transcend and become a part of maybe your fleet out there. Is that right?
Oh, of course. Yes, many are coming home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
And part of this coming home is a part of the ascension of planet Earth. She will ascend into a fifth dimensional planet of light. It is going to happen.
It is going
to? But in the process, yes, it will. Mm-hmm. It may be for your great-grandchildren to witness, but it starts now. You have to start your process. You have to start moving forward now because you have to heal this planet. As I said to begin with, the water, the air, the plants, humanity. You have a sick planet.
I know.
And she needs to be healed. I say to all the people of Earth, treat your planet like your child.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't stick trash on it and send it out into the streets. You wouldn't tell that child, oh, here, drink this water that happens to be nothing but the toxins from an industry.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't tell your child, oh, go lay out there in the middle of that pond and you can rot with everything else. You wouldn't do that with a child.
No.
You wouldn't do it to yourself. And yet you're doing it to your planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beautiful thing, and this is one of the positive things from this whole stay-at-home coronavirus thing, is the air pollution has come down. People are seeing, in London, they're seeing the sky again. In India, they're seeing the sky
Isn't
again.
That exciting?
Air pollution. Mm-hmm. In China, they're seeing the blue sky once again. In the rivers that have been so horribly polluted where nothing could survive, the fish are swimming again.
Oh, isn't that touching?
It is. And that's in London, along the canal. The lands, the waters, the air, by stopping everything and just taking a pause, you're seeing how beautiful your planet can be in 2 short months.
Mm-hmm.
What if you started living in this more sacred way
mm-hmm.
all the time?
Mm-hmm.
What if you recognized that you do have a role, that you do have the opportunity to make a difference? Because right now, a good from this is that your atmosphere, even the ozone, is the hole is closing a bit. Think about that.
Isn't that exciting?
And
have to end this shortly, Lord Ashtar. I hope you will come on again and help us further this.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And I wanted to say,
let my little one know and I'm there.
I will. You said earlier that we think we're out of time and we're not. And I chuckled and I went, this is a little sidebar just to be cheeky. But I go, it's interesting because we are breaking out of the constrictions of time in some ways.
Yes.
There's something
yes.
very magical about that. But that's for another talk, isn't it?
So it is. We will talk again. Well, I am eager to help the earthling. Mm-hmm.
Bless your heart, yes. Lord Ashtar. Thank you for all your
my
service.
Blessings.
And maybe we
it's
can
my
speak,
honor.
Speak with Lady Ashtar
all right.
before
we'll
you go.
Bring her back then.
Thank
so
you.
So it is. It's a beautiful gift that we have given to your group of listeners.
Thank
I am
you.
Honored to be a part of it.
And much love to
Mandante.
You. We're honored.
My blessings.
Mm-hmm. We're honored.
Stay on the phone. Stay on. Stay with us for a minute. Let me bring her back.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm back.
Wow.
I hope you've enjoyed Ashtar's message.
Oh, my. He's powerful and so inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so very pleased.
I am
pleased
too.
To be here.
I'm
Thank
grateful.
You.
I'm grateful, Terry. Tell people how they can get hold of you, that maybe you've got some things coming up here in America when you're under quarantine, I suppose it is.
I'm doing a lot of Zoom sessions, Messenger through Facebook. I can do some sessions as well as by phone. I don't have any real group activities because I haven't been home 2 weeks and I'm still in my cloistered or quarantined condition. But you can find me at ladyashtar.com. That's my website.
Wonderful.
And watch my blogs, my event pages, although they're going to represent Japan right now. You can send me an email if you would like to have a session with Ashtar. You can do that and send me the email. I would love to talk to you. It's wonderful.
I'm so delighted to connect with you again. I feel like you're a dear old friend. Maybe I've known you way out there between planets.
I think we've known each other for many lifetimes. You just feel, we've not even physically met yet. I feel the soul sister in you.
Yeah, and also I'm supposed to be Arcturian. I've been told that a lot, so.
Well, that's probably where our connection comes.
Right. Thank you again.
Now you understand, my little one.
Thank you so very, very much, Terry. Much
love. Thank you, Veronica. Arigato. Thank you.
Arigato.
That's Japanese. Arigato gozaimasu.
I like that. I'll practice that. Arigato. All right.
Hi.
Much love.
All right. Bye. Thank you.
This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters. That was Lord and Lady Ashtar taking us for a big discussion of the universe and what's going on today.